Coming up on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. BYU is in bounce-back mode as the Cougars return to the Lone Star State with a trip to frigid Fort Worth to take on TCU. But before the Cougs hit the road, we've got the coach and Mawut Mag with me in Studio C. Coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
All right.
Wonderful. Good evening once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah for our exclusive weekly look inside BYU men's basketball. We've got a live studio audience, a great audience with us here, and we are live and on demand via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's show, well, it was a rare setback at the Marriott Center on Tuesday night as BYU's long home win streak came to an end. We'll take a brief look back on the Texas Tech game before moving ahead. Deep Blue will profile new assistant coach Tim Fanning. Mawut Mag is our guest in studio. Tonight, we'll have a Down Under taste test tryout with Mo later in the show, plus some audience Q&A and a BYU Hoops trivia question later as well. To get tonight's show underway, let's bring in the 19th head coach of the BYU men's basketball team, the former Clayton State Laker, the coach of your Cougars, Kevin Young. Good to see you, Coach. Good to see you again. All right, welcome back.
Thank you.
Good group here.
Yes, I was just scanning the crowd.
Yeah.
Good to be back.
All right. I mentioned it in the intro to you. It's the first time you've had to experience something new at BYU in terms of not walking out of the Marriott Center with a win. That was a little unusual for you on Tuesday.
It was, it was a good basketball game. You know, Texas Tech played well. Thought just a high-level game. That was, I was looking at the stats after all the lead changes and stuff like that, and you know, our execution down the stretch was disappointing, defensively mainly. But just the course of the game, I mean, we got, I think, 12 wide open catch and shoot threes. Which we've made zero of. And so, you know, on a night where we go 12 of 21 from the free throw line, and then you combine it with a poor three-point shooting night and even finishing at the rim, too. Felt like we left a lot of money on the table and they capitalized.
And in a close game, I mean, any of those average-type things happen, you're a winner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, bottom line is we lost the game. How, you know, we felt like you play that game 10 times, we probably win 9 of them. But the bottom line is they got it done. Give them credit. Thought they made really timely threes. You know, Hawkins was, hot all night. But they, they made two big transition threes that really I thought was the difference in the game.
Okay, off the floor, school's back in. Your guys are now getting used to a new schedule once again.
They are, yeah. So it's, I always have to remind myself that there's classes associated with this. guys are back. They did a really good job academically first semester. So it's kind of back to business as usual, which last semester we were practicing a little bit later in the afternoon. We kind of were able to claw an hour of that back, which I like, being able to practice a little bit earlier. Give us a little bit of more of a routine that I like.
So folks know your guys then have to handle pretty much all their classwork in the morning hours. Is that the way it goes?
Yep. So we go, we practice kind of right after lunch and guys are dialed in with classes in the mornings and then allows us to kind of have the afternoons.
What about this league, by the way? You go from Houston last weekend, best field goal percentage defensive team in the country, to what was the best shooting team in the country in Texas Tech the very next game. You see both ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, every team has a different identity, different style, different strengths and weaknesses, and so you got to be able to adjust from game to game, which I thought we did. I was actually really happy with our defense against a pretty good offensive team, as you mentioned. We let them loose a couple threes there late, which hurt us. But for the most part, I thought our defense was where we wanted it to be. Again, the execution of the game plan down the stretch was not where it needed to be. And, for me, it's you kind of upset about the way our early season schedule was. You know, we didn't face a whole lot of adversity. you know, and so now we're kind of going through it in conference play. And so we're just having to kind of experience a lot of this stuff for the first time on the fly when it matters most.
And you're looking to bounce back, too, from a couple of back-to-back losses. You never want to see that stretch prolong, obviously. Get a nice chance for a bounce back here on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our guys are hungry. You know, our guys want to, you know, they want to go out there and obviously play well, play better. I think individually, I think there's some guys who are disappointed with how they've played in the last couple of games. And obviously, collectively, you know, we haven't been able to get done what we'd like. And so this will be a good opportunity against a well-coached TCU team to, you know, go on the road for the first time in league here and get a win.
We'll head to Fort Worth tomorrow where a winter storm is on its way out. But it always makes things crazy in Texas when the winter weather arrives. Not sure how much you monitor that stuff. Well, what was the craziest travel story you've had in your coaching career?
Oof, there's been a couple.
Weather-related.
Yeah, weather-related. Oh, man. Well, probably the worst one was we were playing the Mavericks in China in a preseason, two preseason games. So we played Miami and Philly. This was when I was with the Sixers. Played Miami and Philly, flew to Canada somewhere. I don't even know a city. They're all the same. No, I'm joking.
No.
I'm joking. And we ended up landing in a winter storm there. And ended up sitting on the runway what seemed like 12 hours or something, then flew to China. So that was, I think we were on the plane for like 36 hours or something like that. So that's a pretty hard one to beat.
Luckily, we have a straight shot to Fort Worth tomorrow. So nothing that. All right, let's take a look back at Tuesday's game. You had Texas Tech coming into Provo looking for its first ever win in the Marriott Center. They were looking to sweep their Beehive State swing because they had won at Utah on the weekend. It was a tight game from start to finish. Let's take a look now at some stats and highlights presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. We'll highlight players as we like to do. Fuseni Traore, 14 points in the game, coach, the most he's had in the game since the Ole Miss game in late November. He was 5 for 10, made his free throws. He's a great free throw shooter on the year, by the way, 29 for 34. And now he plays the team that he had 21 against last year in TCU. Fuse looked like himself again.
Yeah, he did. I mean, when teams choose to play him one-on-one in the post, he's able to, you know, get to his spot. You know, even when he's giving up some height, just got that, put that big shoulder into you and can create space. But, you know, he's been a hub for us offensively most of the year, either scoring against one-on-one or, you know, if they do try to double team him, you know, he can really pass out of there too. So he was he's a guy I like to go to, you know, when it slows down, particularly at the end of the game. We try to go to him quite a bit, and for the most part, he delivered for us.
Mentioned that Foose had his most points in a game since the Ole Miss game. That also goes for Yegor Demon. Yegor had 12 against Texas Tech. That was his best scoring day since late November. Always a good assister. He had six assists or more. Now he has six assists or more in three consecutive games. Also throwing a few steals into the mix. And he's working his way back after about 4 weeks away.
Yeah, I thought this was the most aggressive he's looked offensively, you know, in a while since coming back from that injury. You know, I thought he played with more confidence, played a bit more free. You know, the passing, as you mentioned, is always ever present for him. It was good to see just the ball go in the basket for him.
And how's he feeling, by the way? Do you think is he looking more like himself physically, health-wise?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, every day getting a little bit more confidence. It's allowed him to, the healthier he's gotten, it's allowed him to get back in the gym. You know, he's a routine guy, likes getting in the mornings to get his shots up, and so. I think he's a guy who's, you know, gets confidence from his work, and so it's allowed him to do that, and hopefully we'll see, you know, the fruits of those labors on the court.
Okay, last guy we're going to spotlight is our studio guest tonight in Mawet Mag. He had 11 against Texas Tech. That ties his BYU single game high, 5 for 9 from the field. 5 rebounds is his BYU high as well, and he's a good free throw shooter on the year. He's just taken 10, but he has made 9. Mawet looking more comfortable in your system.
Yeah, no, he's come on strong, you know, since the Wyoming game where Richie went down. And Mo's come in and really given us a lot of energy on the defensive end. Offensively, he's found ways to, you know, to score. I think, you know, I think his veteranness kind of just shows where he just figures out a way to impact the game, you know, on both ends of the court. And so I think his intensity is something that has really stood out. And I think I'm hopeful that it will kind of, you know, rub off on the other guys.
And there's pretty much nothing he hasn't seen. You bring in a guy with that much experience, you know what you're getting when you bring in a guy like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, that was one of the attractive things about him when we were looking at him in this summer. Here's a guy who's, you know, battle tested, you know, in a power conference played for a really good defensive coach at Rutgers, and he's brought an edge to us on that end of the floor.
Okay, final stat board from BYU and Texas Tech. The Red Raiders did come away with the 5-point win. BYU did a lot of good things on this night. And again, as Coach mentioned, a lot of what they wanted to get, they got. It was just one of those nights when the ball wasn't going in the hoop with as much frequency as the team would have preferred. And so it is a tough 5-point loss. BYU now falls to 1-2 in Big 12 play as Texas Tech goes to 2-1. Some key stats in terms of what BYU likes to do under you, and then in terms of what Texas Tech was allowing. I know the offensive and defensive rebound percentage numbers are a big thing for you. How did you feel like the team performed that way on the glass?
Yeah, I didn't think we rebounded the ball at the rate I was hoping we would have. They got too many offensive rebounds. The second chance points. A lot of that was, Williams is a handful down low. We were double teaming him, which kind of puts you in rotation, which can make some of the blocking out difficult. And that was a little bit disappointing. I thought, we took care of the ball. You have eight turnovers. Usually you're going to be able to, win the game. And, it's really a hard thing to overcome a poor shooting night. I learned this a long time ago. You make shots, you win the game. And I know that sounds like common sense, but when it doesn't go in, it's really hard to overcome, especially when you feel like you're getting good looks.
There was a while there where they were talking about the NBA, and the cliche became make or miss league is what they said, right?
Absolutely. And I don't think that's unique to the NBA. Shot making hides a lot of things, honestly. And so, when you lose a basketball game, it's just, of course, you want to learn from wins and losses, but obviously it stings more when you lose. And so you're looking at the film with a more of a fine tooth comb, and you force yourself to try to, get better and fix issues. So I'm hoping the silver lining is it's caused us to examine things at a deeper level. We feel like we'll be better off for it, but that sounds good in a coachship, but you got to go out and win the next game.
Let's take a look at the team sheet check, as we like to do. This is some of the team sheet rankings that shows up on the committee sheets they will be looking at. And you see still a top 50 team in net, top 50 in KenPom. The BPI and the KPI, those are looking at quality on one side, BPI, and the KPI is more about resume. And you're right on the fringe there with Joe Lonardi right now. This will mean a lot more in about a month or so. But again, a lot of things that reflect well for your first year with the program.
Yeah, we have work to do, and our guys know that. We've got guys, I was talking to Trevin, that similar instance last year where they dropped one, I think it was Cincinnati early on at home. And then obviously those guys responded. So it's great to have guys with perspective in the locker room that can, shed light to not just their teammates, but to me as well. And, we have a great opportunity to go, get a big road win and then continue to build up that resume. But, again, our guys know that we have work to do. We got to get some, not just wins, but we got to get some quality wins. And I think, I liked where we're headed. It's one thing if you're losing ball games and you just don't think you're on the right path. We feel like we're doing a lot of good things, and we got to stay the course.
And 1-2 is the same record that BYU opened the Big 12 with last year, and Cougs end up with a winning record, make the tournament. All those things are still in front of you, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt. And every year is obviously different. It's just coaching and sports, I think, are just you have to go like this. You beat ASU by 20, you could very easily be happy on the farm. You lose by a lot at Houston, you're thinking the world's in it, and it's always somewhere in the middle. It's never as good as it feels. It's never as bad as it feels. It's always kind of somewhere in the middle. So, my big thing is just trying to get better every day. And, I think if we do that, we'll be in a good position.
Well, in a league with a steady diet of quad one opportunities, those quality chances Coach is talking about, BYU on Saturday starts a stretch of five consecutive games that are currently right now quads 2 and 3. That can always change depending on how teams do, of course, but a great chance for BYU to make a move in the league standings. Here's a schedule check. We see three games already in the books, that 1-2, then at TCU, home to Oklahoma State, at Utah, home to Baylor, and at UCF. And so it's an interesting stretch here that does give you, again, a chance to make a move. But in the Big 12, there's never an easy week. And a quad one's just around the corner every time. And so it never lets up.
No, it doesn't. And I think the moral of the story is you got to, I told the guys this today, you got to make the next play. You have to have a next play mentality. And so for us, it's what's the task at hand right now? It's TCU, and that's what we have to worry about. And then, you know, once that's done, we move on to the next play. But we got to be focused on the here and now. Make the next play that's in front of you and then worry about the other stuff later.
All right, that is our opening segment of the show with Coach. As we take a break, we remind you that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer and Jaron weekdays noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, assistant coach Tim Fanning is profiled in this week's Deep Blue feature. As BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues, stay with us.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
Welcome back to BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Well, when his high school basketball coach Cole told BYU assistant coach, now current coach, Tim Fanning that he wasn't good enough to make that team, he felt the spark to prove everyone wrong. Determined to succeed no matter the challenge, that spark has connected Tim to basketball players from all over the world on a pathway eventually leading to Provo. This is Deep Blue with Coach Tim Fanning.
In high school, I remember very clearly the coach saying, like, you know, you're not going to make the team. And it was something that was, like, crushing. In terms of, like, just wanting something. And, you know, not getting it.
When somebody cuts you off, it's not easy. And it's probably one of the hardest moments that you live in your life. But after a while, when you settle down again, and you just get back on focus, that's for sure a great motivation, which is, I'm gonna prove you wrong. Which is, I'm gonna prove me right. I can make it.
I was literally working as hard as I possibly could. Like I was, you know, jumping rope for 30 minutes a day. I was waking up at 5 o'clock. I was doing ball handling drills. I was shooting by myself after practice, literally 500 shots a day. So I transferred schools and had a wonderful experience. Went and found a team, St. Mary's. I ended up being a role player on a state championship team that next year. And then that senior year, we moved up to the top division in California and we played against the team that I got cut from. We won that game and I started the game. I think I made 3 three-pointers in the first like 90 seconds. And it's just something that motivated me and continues to motivate me to go and chase my dreams.
What he wanted is I want to live the dream of being in an NBA team and a EuroLeague team. I didn't make it as a player. Why not as a coach?
The two main routes for somebody that's not you don't have in Spanish, enchufe. If you don't have any kind of like in, you either start as like a volunteer or you start as like a grad assistant. I didn't really want to do either one of those things. I wanted to coach. I had an opportunity to go to Spain and be what I thought was going to be an assistant coach on an under 16 team. And then I showed up for the first practice and the sports director said, you're not going to be the assistant, you're going to be the head coach. And for me, this was wonderful because now it was an opportunity to put some of these things coming from all these different notebooks into practice.
He came to Spain where he didn't knew the language. He had to learn it almost here.
I knew I didn't want to coach a team in English, so I got the guys together and I just said, juntos, duros, positivos, which is like together, like tough and be positive. That was a very impactful thing for me as a coach because my limited vocabulary required me to keep the message very clear. And I think that that was something that still resonates with me today.
He's been always eager to learn from anyone who could just give him new experiences, new information, new knowledge, and that paid off.
He's always on the run to prove everyone that he is deserved to be here, deserve to be there, and he does it with a lot of motivation.
6 years in Spain, 1 year in the G League, 3 years in New Zealand, including with the national team, 6 years in Israel in the EuroLeague level with Maccabi Tel Aviv, and 3 years back in the States.
That level of coaching that he was around, you know, worked for a lot of legendary European coaches, trying to, you know, gain knowledge from what he picked up over there was super interesting. And then because he was over there for so long, developed a lot of relationships with a lot of the basketball community over there. So that's really helped out in recruiting. I mean, he's a guy that you could literally drop him off in any country, really in the world, and he's gonna know how to navigate it. He's gonna know some basketball person. And because of that, you know, we've been able to, you know, get our hooks into a lot of different recruiting prospects all over the world.
If sometimes he has to take what for some people may seem like a step backward, he has to get the impulse forward in the next step that he's gonna take, he doesn't hesitate to do it. He loves being in court. He loves helping players to grow. He loves improving, and that's all what matters for him. If he needs to do things that other people don't wanna do because that helps him achieving his goals, he's gonna do it.
I love just the stuff that he thinks about. I mean, it's unconventional, you know, and it makes you sit back and man, I want to see this. Like, how is this going to play out, right? You're talking about sacrifice. You know, he's a guy that sacrificed a lot to put himself in position to have these opportunities that he's had the last few years.
It's been a long journey, and it's been a lot of obstacles. I missed my best friend's wedding. But I'm pretty sure if I would have gone to it, I wouldn't have had a job, because it was a tough moment in the season, coaching overseas. Can't just take off for 2 weeks. And the fact that I've made it to here, you know, at this university is like, I feel blessed. I really do. I feel like I'm on the right track and just to continue to chase it.
There are those coaches. We stepped into coaching because one dream was cut off. But when you start your coaching career, there's no limit. Limit is the sky. You just look above and there's no ceiling.
I just want to tell Tim thank you, because I honestly believe that without him, that I would not be playing to this day. His energy and his coaching and his belief in me sparked an 11 plus, because I'm still ongoing, year career, and I've got to see so much and do so much and live my basketball dream.
What would you tell yourself that was just told you were going to be cut from the high school team?
Man, just keep going. The darkest moment of the night is right before the sunrise.
Well, he's done so many things and coached so many places since, for a relatively young guy, let's say. Your emotions as you watch somebody you know really well.
Yeah, no, it's cool. These are obviously awesome to kind of see people's journeys. You know, Tim's a guy I go back with quite a bit. You know, you mentioned the 1 year in the G League. That's where we first crossed paths out in Philly, out in Delaware.
Saw you on the same bench there.
Yeah. So it's just cool. You know, makes me feel old when I look at it. Like, that seemed like that was yesterday. That was 10, 12 years ago at this point. But now Tim's been great for our program. You know, he's the guys like him. The coaches really enjoy him. He does have a unique perspective, I think, because of his background. And then, you know, obviously on the recruiting side, you know, I made the comment, you really could drop him off anywhere in the world. He just kind of knows how to move. So he's really provided a, you know, kind of a depth of, I think, knowledge, both basketball-wise, but then just back in the basketball world as well. It's been really helpful.
You had so many options to fill a staff. What made you zero in on him as being one of your guys?
You know, so one of those pictures that you showed in there, it was me, him, and a guy named John Beckett, who's an assistant coach for the Nuggets. Now, the three of us were all assistant coaches together in that G League team way back when. And every year in Vegas for Summer League, we'd all go to Shake Shack, the three of us. And that was like where we'd exchange ideas. And, you know, me and Tim would always talk about, you know, the trends that were going on in Europe, the things I was seeing in the NBA tactically. And so we were very connected on that. And we just had a lot of really cool basketball discussions over the years. So that was one, just kind of knowing, hey, this is a guy that can bring some different viewpoints. And then, you know, the unique nature of his network and his relationships, you know, across the globe were really interesting as well, and then it proved to be extremely helpful.
You talk about dropping him off anywhere, and it was during your break right before the season, he ended up backpacking in Colombia.
I was like, where are you going for the break, man? I'm going to go to Columbia with a buddy of mine. I'm like, man, this guy. So he loves Utah, though, man. Like, he guides guys going on hikes all over the place, and he's really a hippie at heart. And so he's out and on the trails, and he's really enjoying his time out here.
We're so glad he's here. All right, our studio guest tonight has been quite literally around the world as well, from the Sudan to Australia to Florida to California, then New Jersey, before touching down in Provo, Utah, to put the capper on his college basketball career. Please help me welcome into Studio C, BYU senior, Mawit Mag.
Thanks for coming in.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You got the hot seat. You got the hot seat.
Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you spent a little bit of time in California. Is that the Dodgers had? You became a Dodgers fan when you
lived
there?
A little bit. You know, turning a little bit. So I used to live in Napa, so I had a host family over there. So lived there for 2 years. So
you've been around?
I've been around, yeah, a lot. So I've been traveling my whole life, so I'm kind of used to it.
Okay. I want to really nail down the pronunciation of your first name. A lot of people just call you Mo. Mawit? Mawit?
Yeah.
Where are we at?
Mawit, yeah.
Mawit, kind of like rhymes with foot. Mawit, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mawit Mag, that's what I want to go with. But Mo, you answer to Mo, right?
Yeah, Mo is, yeah, it's more easier, so I just, yeah.
Okay, I got you. You moved to Australia at 2 years of age.
Yes, sir.
You were born in the Sudan. You consider Australia still home for you?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I was young at the time when I moved to Australia, so I didn't really remember that much, but the only thing I really remember is Australia. And I was there up until 15. And then I came to the U.S. So pretty much Australia is home, really, because when I was younger, my older siblings, they kind of remember a little more than me. But in regards to me, I don't really remember that much of Sudan. But yeah, Australia is kind of home to me. So
how many siblings do you have?
I have a lot of siblings. I got 7 sisters and 2 brothers. So.
Oh, wow.
Right in Utah, man.
Yeah. I got a little army, man. I got a little army. So, yeah.
When did you start focusing on basketball? And what other sports did you like, if there were other sports?
Yeah, so at first, I played soccer first. So I was kind of like a copycat. My older brother, whatever he did, I did too. So I played soccer first. I was a goalkeeper, but I was really young. But I started playing basketball when I was about 11 and 12. So I started playing there, and it just went on from there. I also played AFL. It's kind of like, it's an Australian football league. Mm-hmm. I played it for like a couple of years, but I went on, I played basketball, and I kind of loved it, and it just went on from there. So,
what did you like the physicality of AFL?
Yeah, I actually did, but yeah, it gets kind of, you know, hectic over there. But, you know, there's no pads on that day, so you see a lot of blood and everything. But you know, it's a big sport in Australia, so yeah. I enjoyed it. They didn't enjoy getting hurt though. But yeah.
How much do you relate to what he's talking about there, Coach?
Well, a lot with the big family. Number one, I mean, his story is so unique. It was when I started to really learn more about him. It was I think it's part of, you know, what makes him who he is, and kind of, you know, the kind of the adversity he's gone through was really intriguing. You know, for me, knowing what kind of a human being we were gonna get. As far as Aussie rules football goes, I'm not for that with the no pads and all that. You know, we're kind of wusses over here, I guess, in the U.S. with the pads. But he's a tough dude, though. So,
when you began focusing on basketball, were there any Australian hoops idols that you kind of looked at and said?
Yeah, well, there was kind of some. You know, a couple that stood out. You know, Patty Mills, Matthew Dellavedova. You know, seeing him play the, you know, Warriors in the NBA Finals, LeBron. That was kind of, you know, very inspiring. Also, like Dinga Dell. People that, you know, that I kind of grew up watching and everything. And also, there's also another player. I think it's Aaron. He's a big.
Baines?
Aaron Baines. Yeah, Aaron Baines. Yeah, him too. So, and Dante Exum. Yep. Ben Simmons.
Yeah, played for the Jazz for a while, too.
So those are really the ones that are the main ones.
Well, Matthew Dellavedova had a few good games against BYU back in the day. So sometimes you got to watch what kind of crowd you're around when you mention his name. So you said 15 was when, is that when you started to come to the States to play?
Yeah, that's when I moved over. You know, I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship in Florida near Bradenton next to IMG. So I was fortunate enough to get there. So I traveled over by myself and
like when you're 15, leaving your country to come play basketball?
It was a lot of mixed emotions, you know. I felt happy but kind of sad at the same time. When I got there, I was happy, but when time went on, I was still young and I got very homesick. Mm. But as the time went on, I went back home and I came back. I kind of got used to it, and it kind of helped me grow to the person I am today. So if I didn't go through the things I went through in the past, I wouldn't be who I am today. So
So you had Florida experience and then California experience before you ended up going to college, right?
Yeah, then I went to Jersey too.
And so why you end up in Jersey at Rutgers? How did Rutgers win out for you in terms of where you wanted to play college?
It went well. You know, the Big Ten is a very competitive conference. I went there, I was young. I grew a lot, learned a lot. Shout out to Coach Peichel and the coaching staff over there, my teammates. You know, we had tremendous memories and everything, big games, buzzer beaters, being the number one team and a buzzer beater.
Was that Purdue?
Purdue, yeah. Going to the NCAA tournament. So I had very, you know, big moments, and I'm always going to cherish them.
So. Okay, so when did you first hear the name of Whit Mag relative to Rutgers and being available?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, that time for me was a bit of a blur when I got the job. The portal was already open, and so you know, I was hiring a staff. And so Brandon Dunson and him had a history, you know, together, and Brandon mentioned his name to me. And a lot of my closest friends, ironically, in basketball, have Australian ties. A good friend of mine's the GM of the Perth team, and they're kind of NBA of Australia. He was my first call about Mo, picking his brain. I was involved with the Australian national team for a short time. I coached Ben Simmons in Philly. So I'm pretty dialed in with Australia, so I started making calls, doing my homework. And then, obviously, like I said, Brandon and Mo had a relationship that dated back to when you were in high school. Mm-hmm. And so there was just a lot of, you know, common ground, a lot of familiarity. And then, you know, the more we were watching film and the more I learned about him, you know, he was somebody that we absolutely wanted to add here at BYU.
So now that you're here, how does it feel to be a BYU Cougar?
It's great, you know. It's different compared to the places I lived in the past. But I actually like it. It's quiet. Teammates, coaches, I love them all. And, they, you know, they from day one, they opened me with welcome hands and everything. So I'm enjoying it. Playing in a Power 5 conference, big, you know, Big 12 is one of the best ones. So I can't really complain. It's going well, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, we're really glad you're here. We'll take a break with Mo and Coach. We'll come back. We'll kind of, in a way, return to his homeland in a minute. You'll see what we mean after this. Continue. BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Stay with us. All right, so welcome back. This is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. You might have seen a table in front of Mo and Coach. It's there because tonight on this show, we are going on what we're calling an intersnactional tour. Intersnactional tour. Oh, look, we've got the pushpin, the thumbtack in Australia. This must mean good things for Mawit. All right, here we go. Mawit's hometown is Melbourne, Australia. Yes, born in the Sudan, but we're going to call Melbourne, Australia home. So our producer, Hema Haymooley, went out and gathered 10 Aussie snacks.
Yeah.
All right. Coach Young and Mawit are going to taste test these snacks. Some of them may be familiar to you already.
Yeah.
All right, Hema, where's Hema? Hema's got the goods. All right. Oh, yes, our server.
Hema, here we go.
Yes, here we go. So our first snack tonight. Thank you, Hema. This is great. All right, and don't forget to tip your server at the end of the night. We're first looking at Tim Tams. Tim Tams are described as chocolate biscuits with a smooth chocolate coating and a velvety flavored center. That sounds delicious.
That sounds good.
It really does. Mo, are you familiar?
I am familiar, yeah. When I was young, I used to eat it a lot. I ain't gonna lie. I used to love a lot of candy, so I'm very familiar with it.
Is Coach going to like the taste of a Tim Tam, do you think?
I think he will, yeah.
Have at it there, Coach, you think?
Mo, you got to get on one, too.
Yeah, I'll get on one, too, for sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to like a Girl Scout cookie.
Very like a Girl Scout cookie. Yeah. It's okay. So a thumbs up on that one?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. We don't need to finish everything. We're going to have a few more to go through here. Are you a fan of Tim Tams, Mawit? You like them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I haven't had them in a while, though, but I love them, though.
Okay. Very good. Next up, server Hema bringing in this is a flavored chip snack called the Twisty. Yeah. Twisties. Mm-hmm. These are Twisties.
Yeah.
So out go the Tim Tams, in come the Twisties. And these are described as a chicken flavored. So I'm not so sure about this. Have you had Twisties before?
Yes, I had Twisties before, yeah.
Have at one here.
Okay.
Go ahead. No, okay. You go first. Is it always chicken flavor? Do they come in
There's different flavors, yeah. Different. Okay. A lot of flavors.
We're looking Cheeto-esque here.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Cheetos are good reminiscent there.
Yeah, like that's Cheetos, yeah. Kind of like Cheetos. Yeah. But it's nice one, you know.
That's not bad.
Really? No, a chicken-flavored Cheeto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What do you think, Coach Young? Thumbs up on that one?
I'm in on it, yeah.
All right, he's in. All right, good. Hamlin's going to be getting a supply for Coach here. All right, number three. This is called the Arnott's Monte Carlo, described as a swirl of cream and chewy jam between two coconut and honey biscuits. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
It's a Monte Carlo. Have you had a Monte Carlo before?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
You know all this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Coach Young is the one that it's be kind of new for, right, I guess. But
this one sounds pretty intimidating. I'm not gonna lie.
Sounds a little crunchy.
Remind you of anything, Coach?
Like a stale s'more.
That's probably not going to be part of their promotional campaign. All right. Number four on the snack parade, server Hema bringing in the Pascal Minties. Mm. Minties. This is called a chewy, mint-flavored nougat lolly.
Yep.
Yeah. You're saying, yeah, like you know what the deal is here. You've had these as well?
Yeah, a lot of Halloween, yep.
Are you a fan of these?
They're all right. They're kind of just minty, so they're kind of chewy, but
kind of minty, kind of chewy.
Yeah.
Coach Young, are you gonna?
This one doesn't necessarily feel too chewy, so we'll see. We'll see how we do here.
Nah, it is very hard though. I ain't gonna lie.
I think those might have been in the bag for a while. Very pepper, just kind of chewy peppermint.
Yeah, okay. But maybe less, maybe they were chewier at a different time.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe
I think
they were
on the flight over, they might have.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right, you can do whatever you want to do with that chewy mint flavored nougat lolly. Yeah. As the fifth snack out here tonight, this is a... what do we have here? Are these the Cadbury Fingers? Well, these are the Cadbury Fingers. Anything Cadbury is good. This is traditional chocolate stuff here. Chocolate-covered biscuits. This is pretty basic. Do you like the Cadbury Fingers, Mo?
Mm-hmm. I've had in a while, though. But
feel free to have one now.
Yeah, I like the look of this, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, this looks kind of Canadian, I have to say.
And Cadbury's a big thing up in Canada. Yeah. We love the Cadbury. Yeah. Solid, right?
That's elite. Yeah.
Elite. Yeah. Not just solid, but an elite chocolate-covered biscuit, the Cadbury Fingers. All right. Hema's rolling here. What do we have next, Hema? Are these the... No, what do we... Oh, this is the licorice. This is the Daryl Lee Australian licorice. Are you familiar, Mo?
Yeah, I'm familiar, yep.
We're throwing a lot of stuff at you. This is the red licorice. Coach, you want to give it a go?
Yeah, I've heard... These are kind of world-renowned from what I've heard, so... Wow. That's good.
Is there something in that? Is it a filled licorice? Is there stuffed licorice or just straight licorice?
I feel like a mix between a Twizzler and a Red Vine, somewhere in the middle.
Okay, yeah. Both good. Both very good. All right, that's good. Hema, what do we have here? Are these the UFOs? These are the UFOs.
Mm.
This stands for unusually flavored objects.
Mm. You familiar with this one?
No.
This is good. This is new for Mo. All right, we are told... These are burger-flavored corn puffs.
I mean, since you're not familiar, you might have to try that one.
Yeah. Try it.
Burger-flavored.
UFOs from Australia. Burger-flavored corn puff.
You in on it?
Yeah, I'm in on it. Yeah.
Oh, whoa. I don't know if I'm in on that one.
So I'm going Moa thumbs up and Coach less that way. All right, we're running toward the end. What are these? These are the bongos.
Great name.
Also in the salty flavored category, these are baked cheese flavored puffs. Baked cheese flavored puffs. So these could be something like, what are they like?
You gotta go. First of all, how would they pronounce that in Australia? They're going, bongo, mate.
Yep. Yep.
Well done, Coach Young.
They say mate a lot. Yep.
That was impressive. All right. Are we okay on the thumb? Are we liking the bongos?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Decent. Cheese ball. Yeah.
All right. Now, we're either down to our last or second to last Australian snack here. And one of these may or may not qualify as an actual snack. What is Hema doing? Hema's deciding out there.
He might be trying it.
It's either going to be something really...
I think,
really appetizing or something less. Okay, you knew it was coming. I think you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. We always have to go with the Vegemite. Cool. And this isn't so much of a snack, is it, really?
Yeah.
And if you're given the choice, are you going to pass on this or do you already know what you're dealing with?
I know what I'm dealing with, but I think Coach might have
told me there was some water involved somewhere, so yeah. I may.
We may need to wash this down.
What the? Is that it?
Yeah, it's just, but yeah. I don't think you want.
You got to scoop it out with a knife.
I'll let coach try it. I'll try it with coach, too. Yeah.
Okay, good for you.
I don't do too much.
I'm nervous.
This is, is it a spread? We call it a spread. Yeah, what do we do here?
I mean, yeah, there you go.
So, like, what would this be used for?
A sandwich, Vegemite. It's just butter, and you literally just put it in bread, and you just mix it together.
Wow, it's really gross.
Yeah.
It's not that good. You knew it was coming, and you were terribly enthused about it, I could tell.
And recess, if you're like feeling sick, and like you go where they go, and like they'll literally give you sandwiches of these, literally. So yeah. Some people eat it with toast.
Awful.
Toast, and like, yeah.
How did it get famous?
I'm not too sure. I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but I think a lot of Australians eat it, and like that's like their go-to. So I remember one time my mom brought it. And she put it in the house, and it was just in the cabinet for so long.
I can see why.
It stayed in the cabinet. Stayed in the cabinet. Well, how about a hand for our guys here on the international tour? And again, when the description of Vegemite is a brewer's yeast extract, you kind of know where you're going with this. It's So Coach will need some time to recover, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have questions from the studio audience for Coach Young and Mo. When BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues, stay with us.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Health Decide, decode your DNA, design your destiny. Ken Garf, we hear you. And Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful.
This is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Time now for some audience Q&A with Coach Young and our guest tonight, Mawit Mag. It is presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We have fans from the stands, and we've got our studio mic open and ready for business. Sir, what's your name and who's your question for?
My name is Ryan Michon, and question is for either of you, and that's what is different about the BYU basketball culture compared to other places you have played or coached?
I'll go. I think for me what stands out is just the level of character our entire group has from, you know, top to bottom. You know, I think just I've been blown away with just how good of guys we have. You know, everybody that's here, I think, really gets along, and it makes my job extremely easy. Would you agree with that?
No, I agree with that for sure, yeah. Coach hit them right on point, so.
Excellent. Thanks for the question. Young man, what's your name?
My name is Nixon, and my question is for Mo. Who, in your opinion, do you think the best NBA player is?
Ooh, that's a great question right there. In my opinion, it would be either the Joker or Shea, one of those. Mm. Probably one of those right there.
SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander?
Yeah, right now, in my opinion, yeah.
Okay. Joker, by the way, I think leads the NBA right now in three-point percentage as a big guy, which is insane. He does so many things that are insane.
I think like 47%, I think. Yeah,
that's crazy. So. Yeah, awesome. Good question, good answer. Yes, next up.
Hi, my name's Kendall Cooper. Question for each of you. What has been your biggest positive surprise coming with the Cougs this year?
I'll let you go first.
I think just the supporting cast and just the people and as a whole, you know, everybody here is just very like welcoming, very kind, polite, and just you know, very helpful. Whatever you need, you know, if you ask a question, someone's either to help you or anything. So
you feel support.
Very, very supportive and everything. So which is that kind of mind. I knew it was a quiet place, but just knowing that the support and the amount of people that really care. It like went a long way for me. So,
Coach, yeah.
I would say, I mean, I knew that the Marriott Center was a great environment, but it's surpassed my expectations quite a bit. Actually, it's just an amazing place to play.
More than 17,000 for the game on Tuesday, and BYU sits seventh nationally right now in average per game attendance. Absolutely, yes, young man. What's your name?
So, I am Lucas.
Hi, Lucas.
And I have a question for Mo. Mo, you are so awesome and fun to watch play, especially on defense.
Yeah.
And so my question is, who is your hardest player you have ever defended on defense?
That's a great question. I'll tell you, I've guarded, you know, a lot of players in the past. So, but if I had to pick, it would probably have to be Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray from Iowa. Mm-hmm. He's just very efficient, and he's the type of player that he doesn't really jack up bad shots, shots like that, and he takes good shots, and you look up, and he has 26 without anybody really realizing. So I'll probably say Keegan Murray.
Those Big Ten battles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Coach, who would you say, as an NBA coach, that the toughest game plan was for? Like, what was the hardest guard for the guys you coached?
So it's hard to just pick one. The three hardest, and I've had to play them all, unfortunately, in a playoff series that we came up short on. Giannis, Joker, and Luka. They're like, kind of like, no matter what you do, they're going to find a way to beat. Giannis had a sure will. Now, granted, the guy got 19 free throws in game six. They won. Don't tell David, Michael Davey that. You know, Luka, no matter what you do, he can hurt you with the just picking you apart. And then Joker, there's no answer for.
Yeah.
So those are three really tough ones.
I mean, you know, the word unicorn gets, like, those are three really unique guys, right?
Very much so.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir, your question.
Okay, my name's Kirk. This is for Coach. I'd love to hear your opinion, Mo, as well. Mm-hmm. Do you see NIL lengthening the collegiate experience for, you know, NBA talent, or do you think it makes any difference?
It depends on how you define NBA talent. I think the upper echelon, like if a guy's a guaranteed, you know, top five pick, I would say unlikely. But if it's once you kind of get below a certain, you know, part of the draft as it relates to projections, yeah, I do think it can, because they can be in a good financial position in their current state, but then improve and up their financial situation, you know, while really not having to sacrifice a whole lot.
Yes, that question one more time, please. Sorry.
NIL, do you think it's going to lengthen a collegiate career of an NBA-bound talent? Or do you think it makes a difference?
I think it's kind of an even balance, really. Depending on who the player is, if it's X or Y. But I feel like it can go either ways, really. But it's very beneficial for some of the players, too. So, but it can go either left or right. It just depends on the situation and who the player is and what they have provided in front of them.
Thanks for the questions. Appreciate you all. All right, thanks so much. As we end the segment, let's go to our And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus, providing Jan-San food service and packaging supplies plus support. Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. And here's tonight's trivia question. The BYU single game record for most free throws attempted and made were both set by Jimmer Fredette against TCU, this week's opponent. On March 11th, 2010, how many free throws did Jimmer attempt and make on that night? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us. Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's And One trivia question presented by Brady Plus. The BYU single game records for most free throws attempted and made were set by Jimmer Fredette. As Coach notes, usually a pretty good answer for most of our trivia questions. It was done against TCU, this weekend's opponent. We brought that in for that reason. This was back on March 11th, 2010. So if it's March, it's probably conference tournament time. And yes, it was. So how many free throws did Jimmer attempt and make? And the answer here, he went 23 for 24. Spoiler alert, here we go. 23 for 24.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Part of a 45-point night against TCU in the Mountain West Conference Tournament of 2010. I remember calling that game, and I was so tight that he had to miss one free throw. I wanted to be perfect on 24, but wild. One game, one guy. Wow. I mean, Giannis is 19. Look, tame in comparison.
Well, I was
now.
Just saying, college, you barely see teams getting 24 free throws in some nights. So that's incredible for one guy.
It was, and that was the guy. All right, next up for BYU, it is TCU. Saturday afternoon in Fort Worth. The Horned Frogs are 8-6 on the season, 1-2 in conference, coming off a 65-46 loss at Houston on Monday night. This is Know the Foe, presented by Health Decide. Decode your DNA, design your destiny. You see how BYU leads the series. BYU's lost once in Fort Worth, once in Provo, and once on a neutral floor. But the Cougs have won 17 in a row against TCU, including the last six in Fort Worth. You see some pretty good defensive numbers there, Coach, for TCU. They do have the leading scorer in league play right now on Noah Reynolds, averaging 20 a game in three league games.
Yeah, no, Noah's a good player. Noah's game well. He was a guy we looked at this summer, so very familiar with him. Really good players coming on strong in league play. But yeah, defensive-minded team. You know, Jamie does a good job with their group. You know, they've had some pretty close games, you know, in league play. So it'll be
Anytime you go on a road, you know, in any league, but clear, definitely the Big 12, it's going to be a, you know, a battle. But, you know, our guys are, you know, we're hungry. We know we need to go out and get a win.
It'll be a Saturday matinee, a noon Mountain Time tip with 11 a.m. radio pregame on BYU Radio. The game will be on ESPN2 as well. And then radio postgame coverage on BYU Radio with Mark and me as well. Mo and Coach, good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.